Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Beis in Maseches Beitza. I've told you that since I am in the United States, I'm not in Eretz Yisrael, I've lost track of what daf we are up to in Shas, but we're definitely well into the 600s, and Baruch Hashem, we're able to start a new Masechta together. The truth is, today's daf is very, very special to me because I'm zelcha to do it. Shali is all very much dependent, and what I'm able to give you is very much dependent on my father, Shlita, who's sitting next to me as we begin Maseches Beitza together. Our daf is going to discuss the halachos of Yom Tov. Maseches Beitza deals very much with the halachos of Yom Tov, beginning with the halachos of Muktza. Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov refers to an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. First, the sense of the order of the Prakim, Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov dealing with Muktza, and then our Perek will deal as we go on, Daf Yud, Yiralef, Yubezi, Gimel, dealing with the Malachos of Yom Tov. And the second Perek will introduce the concept of Erev Tavshilin. The third Perek, for many of the Rishonim, becomes the most important Perek, particularly the Ramban and others, in regards to Malachos that are done on Yom Tov. And finally, the fourth and fifth Prakim will relate to Gzeros Midrabanan and other Halachos that relate to Hilchos Yom Tov. Of course, the timing is beautiful. Bezer Hashem will be, we're now, today's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. According to some opinions in the Gemara, the mitzvah to be Osek in Hilchos Hachag begins today. Of course, we follow the opinion that Shloshim Yom, but some say it begins today. So according to that opinion, it's a beautiful time to begin Hilchos Yom Tov. Particularly, our daf is going to have the famous discussion of an egg that is laid on Yom Tov, whether it is Muktza and whether it is not. Muktza is a complicated topic. We've already dealt with Muktza in Hilchos Shabbos, in the halachas from the daily daf. We've given some background, and we will try. I'm in Golis right now, so I don't have that much time, but we will try eventually to give background as well to the halachas of a Muktza. As we're going to see in today's daf, we're going to see that the concept of Muktza really could be divided into two different categories. Number one, the concept of Muktza, which might be, according to some opinions, even a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Mem Ches or Mem Zayin or so discusses the some who say the Muktza is d'oraisa. There might be sources that would say that something that it doesn't exist before Yom Tov and it comes into existence on Yom Tov itself might have a din d'oraisa. We paskin halacha l'maisa, it's derabanan, but nevertheless, don't confuse that muktza with another form of muktza. And that is a form of muktza that most children, our little children like to say that anything that makes noise is muktza. So that, of course, that's a childish perspective of muktza. But even adults sometimes get confused that on Shabbos, most things that people call muktza is not really the issue of muktza. The word muktza means lahaktos, to designate. That the halacha is, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, how far the requirement goes, that one needs to designate the items that one is going to use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The prototypical example of something that wasn't designated before Shabbos and Yom Tov is an egg. The egg wasn't in existence at all before it was laid. So therefore, that's the prototype of muktzah. However, most muktzah we call today is a different category. It relates, but it's different. That is gzeras tiltel kelim, which the Gemara Kufchav Gimel in Shabbos describes as the gzera of Nechemya. So what we're dealing with now is the muktzah with a capital M. What people refer to as muktzah today generally refers to tiltel kelim. Let's begin Be'ezer Hashem, our daf. Our daf is going to deal with the halacha Beitza Shenolda and many aspects of the Isurim of Yom Tov and other implications. Zakhtei the Gemishna Beitza Shenolda miYom Tov, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Be'ishame Omrim Te'ocha. Be'ishame says there's no problem to eat it. Here, of course, it seems to be, the Gemara is going to be extremely bothered by this, that this seems to be one of the leniencies of Beis Shammai and astringency of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Te'achal. Beis Hillel says you can't eat. Beis Shammai Omrim Sa'ar B'Kizayis V'Chometz B'Koseves. Now the Gemara quotes another machlokas, which is going to take a long time for the Gemara to get to. Our daf is not going to touch this at all. That is that when it comes to the shiur of Sa'ar, which is literally yeast, the first year I zocha to hear from Rav Herschel Schechter pointed out that today's yeast is not the halachic yeast. Today's yeast is a chemical formula, but once upon a time, yeast was bread, leaven, that had become so fermented that it now has the ability to cause other doughs to rise. That has a sheer bikizais. V'chametz bikoseves. But chametz is the size of a date, which is a different shear, and that is the size of a date. Ubeisilo imrim zevezeb bikizais. And Beisilo disagrees, already another halacha of Hilchas Pesach, and says both the shear iser for both them is a kizais. Rashi points out that the relationship between these two halachas is that both of these are from the Kula Beis Shammai and the Chumra of Beis Hillel. Continues the Mishnah. If a person slaughters either a wild animal as opposed to a domesticated animal, the Oth Biyomtif, as well as fowl, Beis Shammai Omrim Yachbar Bedeker V'yichasa. Beis Shammai says that these two animals, what they have in common is they have the mitzvah of kisui hadam. So Beis Shammai says that what one is supposed to do is to dig dirt and then cover the blood, and you could do that on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel omrim lo yishchait elam keino yilo ofer muchan mibod yom. Beis Hillel disagrees and says this, and he says that one is not allowed to slaughter the animal if the dirt has not been designated before Yom Tov. Later on in our Gemara, a few dapim, we're going to discuss why it's not mutter for Beis Hillel. We have a very, very important rule in Hilchas Yom Tov, and that rule is the heter of Ochel Nefesh, that the pasuk says, many of your Gemaras, they should have these psukim at the opening of the Gemara, Acha she'ochel ochel nefesh hu levado ye'osa lechem. That appears in Shemos, in the early stages of the Torah's introduction of Hilchas Yom Tov. The Torah tells us, connected to the Parsha of Pesach as well, the Torah says that what is Ochel Nefesh is going to be permissible. In contrast to on Shabbos, where we never have this dispensation of Ochel Nefesh, however on Yom Tov you have the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, so we're going to have a machlokus that relates to this issue of why it is that when it comes to covering the blood, it's not considered as well that you could violate it, that you could violate for Ochel Nefesh. Modim Shim Shachat. But everybody agrees sheyachbar bedek v'yichasa she'efer kira muchanu. But they do agree that if the dirt is already been designated, so then it's going to be fine. Why? Because once the dirt has been designated, so then in such a case there isn't a problem of muktza. That over here Beis Hillel will have a problem of muktza. However, if it's shachat, sheyachbar bedeker v'yichasa, then it's not going to be a problem. Obviously, the Mishnah now just addressed the answer to the question that we had said before. The issue over here is an issue of muktza, that the issue is going to be whether the dirt is going to be muktza. If you designate the dirt beforehand, so then in such a case, it's not going to be a problem of muktza. The Gemara, though, on the bottom of Zayin Amabez, will deal with the issue of the malacha as well, in the case of where the dirt is designated. She'efer kira muchanu. Because the ash from a stove that could be used to cover up the blood is considered designated and prepared, and therefore that could be used to cover up. The Gemara is going to ask on Chesam et Aleph that at the end of the day, we weren't talking about Afer. We were talking about Afer. The difference between the word Afer and Afer is ash in the stove. Afer is dirt. So the Gemara on Chesam et Aleph will ask, like in many instances, the Mishnayos are extremely unclear. That's one of the points that my father often emphasizes. That the Mishnayos require a lot of elaboration and explanation. Okay, let's Beis Hashem begin the Gemara. The Gemara says, "B'maya skina." What exactly are we talking about when we say a beitza shenolda biyomtov? The Gemara now is going to try to isolate exactly what type of phenomenon of an egg that is laid on yomtov produces the situation of muktza. Along the way, we're going to get involved with some of the most important klalim in regards, important rules in regards to Hilchos Muktza. B'maya skina, What exactly are we talking about? Ilema b'tarnit goylas hoimedes la'achila, that we're talking about a chicken that can be slaughtered and be eaten. My grandfather, Alav Shalom, was a sheichet. And my father remembers this phenomenon of chickens running around and chickens hoimedes la'achila. So then in such a case, that chicken that was in Zayda's chicken coop, so in such a case, that chicken would not be muktza. Did Zayda ever shecht on Yantav? But technically, in theory, it could he would be able to shecht on Yom Tov. So in my scheme, ilayma b'tarnik godos ha'med is la'achila. If we're talking about a chicken that is oimid la'achila, in other words, could be geshachtan for Yom Tov, ma'itei ma'yu dis Beis Hillel. Why would Beis Hillel say that the Beitz HaShanol the Yom Tov would be mukta? Uchlu de ifrasu. This is an important expression. Of course, in Aramaic, the tuf and the shin are interchangeable, and therefore it would read in Hebrew ochla de ifrash, and that means that it is food that has separated. What does that mean? That means that the egg is just simply something that's separated from food that was already mukhan. So the chicken, even though my father as a child would play with them, he didn't look at it as prepared food, but technically it was already considered omedes lachilo, it was mamish cheftza of oichel beforehand. So then, in such a case, if it was a tarnigolos ha'medes la'achila, so then in such a case, then it's considered uchla de ifras. In fact, I think my father, he could correct me now, would prefer that there were times that these were not tarnigolos ha'medes la'achila, but rather the next part of the Gemara. Ela be tarnigolos ha'medes legadol beitzim. Because Tati describes that there was one time there was a chicken that he was attached to, correct?
Yeah, correct.
That he was attached to, that that he had asked Zayda not to shecht, and then one day he came home and it was gone. Ela b'tarnigolos ha'imedes l'gadol beitzim. So that tarnigolos has a better life expectancy, and that is a tarnigolos that lays eggs. So if we're talking about a tarnigolos that lays eggs, a ma'itai ma'yu de beis shamay. What's the rationale? Beis shamay muktzah. It's a davar pashut that it's going to be muktzah. Now, according to the Rashi, what's going on over here is the following. There is an important machlokis, which the Gemara is about to introduce, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. It begins on Shabbos and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, which requires a minute of introduction. Machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda seems to be very clear when you read the Gemara, but the problem, as the Gemara itself alludes to in many places, is that the way we say over the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda is way too black and white than it really is. And that is, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon lesle muktza and Rabbi Yehuda isle muktza. Again, we want to emphasize that the muktza here we're talking about is not the muktza of Iser Total Kalim, which is the Gzerim Nechemya, which we have Shiurim, if you want, and Hilchas Muktza, where we elaborate the differences between the two and discuss the Gzeris Total Kalim. Now we're discussing the machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda of whether there's a concept of muktza. What is that? So the Mefarshim already point out that Rabbi Shimon also holds a muktza, and there are things that Rabbi Yehuda also hold that are not muktza. The machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rav Soloveitchik explained it, and I heard from his Talmidim, I just visited Rabbi Braunschweig yesterday, hopefully you'll see Rav Schachter today, the way they quoted from Rav Soloveitchik is the following, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that anything that you didn't actively designate before Shabbos or Yom Tov is usur for a person to be metaltal. Why? We're going to see in the Hemshech HaGemara, you need to positively designate something. Anything that's not Rabbi Yehuda Islay Muktzah. He holds that if you didn't positively designate, then it's automatically Muktzah. While Rabbi Shimon holds, Rabbi Shimon says, Leslay Muktzah says if you have an object, unless the object itself identifies itself as something that's not prepared for Shabbos, the object is extremely ma'us. It's extremely disgusting. So then in such a case, then there's room to say that even in certain instances, Rabbi Shimon will say that that is muktza as well. But it doesn't mean that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktza. Rabbi Yehuda holds that all cases are muktza. And Rabbi Shimon entirely rejects muktza. No, it means when you have this in-between case, do you need, and to present it succinctly, does one need to actively designate an item for the item to be mutter, to be used on Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a muktzah, says yes, and Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold a muktzah, holds no. That's the best way that I'm aware of to be mazbir that machlokes from Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara asks, my tamayu de Beis Shammai muktzi? Beis Shammai would agree that the Tarnagolas hasn't been actively designated. It will be muktzah, says the Gemara. Umay kushya, dilma Beis Shammai, less than muktzah. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold a muktzah. Rashi understands that that means that he's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, Kasalka Daitan, I would have thought Afilu Mandashari Bamuksa Binoi Ladasur. No, even Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Muksa is mutter, but no lad, if it comes in, if it's born into the world, then it would be Asur. Oh. So this already alludes to this concept that I said over from my Rabbein. And that is, of course, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that the concept of Muksa doesn't exist. It has to be something that is more abstract, less in existence than the threshold of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would hold those things that are already in existence are muktzah. While Rabbi Shimon, according to this stage, holds that those things that are in existence but haven't been actively designated are not considered muktzah. However, nolad, something that didn't exist before Shabbos or Yom Tov, that he would agree is also usur to derive benefit from it. The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvas points out that it will also be an isur of achila. And the Chassam Sofer points out if there's an isur achila of beitza, we know from Inyan Diyama and Hilchas Pesach that just like when there's an isur achila, there's an isur negiya, there's a prohibition to touch. So too would be prohibited to touch this egg as well. In general, when it comes to the isur of tiltul kelim on Shabbos, there's no prohibition to touch what we call muktzah, what we call what is really tiltul kelim. However, a beitza that would have a din of an isur achila, points out the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvas, then there would be an isur of negia as well, as a din of a girl. Says the Gemara, my time I de Beis Shammai. What is the rationale of Beis Shammai? If Beis Shammai is saying that it's asur, why, if Beis Shammai, excuse me, is saying it's mutter, why is he saying it's mutter? Even Rabbi Shimon would hold noilad is asur, by the way, in Hilchus Shabbos as well, halacha lemaisa, there are times that we're more machmir for nolad than other cases of muktzah. There's a big discussion, the Ramah's machmir, whether the Ramah is based on the rationale of our Gemara or based on other sources, that's beyond our scope. Says the Gemara, my time, I'm Beis Shammai, Rav Nachman, lo'olam atar negoilas ha'imendis agado beitzim. Really, we're talking about a chicken that lays eggs. Ude islay mukta islay nolad. Ude leslay mukta leslay nolad. The Gemara's conclusion seems to be that mukta and nolad go together. Even though we had a svara before to be masbir, the difference between mukta and nolad, nevertheless, the Gemara rejects that svara. That the Gemara says that if Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no such thing as muktza, then even nolad as well is going to be mutter. Rather, Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Shimon, Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Shammai follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. This will, if the Gemara stopped right here, there could be some people that are rushing that wish the daf would stop right here, but if the daf would stop right here, then we'd really, really, really be in trouble, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the halachos of Muktza, and this would have us, Rabbi Shimon, following the shita of Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, "Mi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi." The Rav Nachman says, "Vatnan Beis Shammai Yoimrim. Beis Shammai taught might be in Me'al Shulchan at Samosu Klipin Beis Hillel Misalikas Atavla Kulo Menara." Now we get into more of the classic cases of Muktza. Still, the classic case of Muktza, not Tiltul Kelim, and that is an object that is not been in existence and not ready and has no significance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the halach is, according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to lift up those things. This is as well halach lemaisa. How you get rid of bones is a very, very big discussion in the poskim. I think we've discussed this in the halacha from the Deilu Daf in the past. And Beis Hillel says it is a problem. The only thing you could do is do tiltul min atzad. You could shake them off. In the past we've discussed how that is done, halach lemaisa. Amar Rav Nachman, Oyanu ein lanu Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda, u'Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. We learned the exact opposite, that Beis Hillel follows the opinion. And Rashi says we have an important tradition that entirely changes our Mishnah. Rabbi Nachman taught that we have a tradition that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a muktzah, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of muktzah. That's how Rashi explains. So then, the Gemara is asking that there is a stira within the shita of Rav Nachman. First, let's discuss Rav Nachman, and then we'll relate it to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rav Nachman is of the opinion that muktzah of Rav Yehuda is the position of the Beis Shammai. My father pointed out it's the plural, the Beis Shammai. While the shita of Rav Yishimin is the position of the Beis Hillel. So they hold that there is no muktzah. Rav Nachman over here seems to be presenting the opposite within the yeshiva of Beis Shammai and the yeshiva of Beis Hillel. Over here, Beis Shammai is the mekel, seems to be following like Rabbi Shimon Lesley Muktzah. Beis Hillel seems to be following as Rav Nachman himself had presented three or four lines up, seems to be following the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the case of Magbiyin Me'al HaShulchan HaTzamas HuKlipin is what set Rav Nachman into motion from the perspective of the Gemara. In other words, Rav Nachman in Masechet Shabbos, we learned already in the past, he changed the positions of Magbiyin Me'al HaShulchan. Again, the simple reading of the Mishnah in Shabbos is that Beis Hillel holds of Muktzah and Beis Shammai does not, because Beis Hillel says that you have to do Tiltul Min Hatzad, that means to move the Muktzah in a backhanded manner. We have a halacha from the Daily Daf exactly how that's done. While the Tanakhama, according to the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says no problem to have them be metaltel. So Rav Nachman said, switch it around. Anu ein lanu ela Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. So we now have a stira in Rav Nachman. Notice, if Rav Nachman had not intervened, we would have come away with the exact opposite conclusion. We would have come away with the conclusion that Beis Hillel holds of Muktzah and Beis Shammai do not. However, this is a classic example of our bittul to the Chazal, our bittul and the koach of the Prushim. And here we go, where the Amoraim modify the girsa of the Mishnah. Amar l'cha Rav Nachman gabei Shabbos. So what are we going to do with this stira about our Mishnah holding a Muktzah and according to Beis Hillel, while Beis Shammai not? Amar l'cha Rav Nachman gabei Shabbos d'sasam lan tana k'Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Shabbos, so there, it seems that everybody follows the opinion Rabbi Shimon d'snan. Mechatchin es adluin l'fnei ha-behema v'zan ve'lo l'fnei ha-klofim. That you're allowed to take a carcass, which was clearly not designated, both in its entity as well as the mind of the Bailim, to be used as dog food. You could take that and cut it in front of the dogs, even though it's Muktzah. So then, Mokum lo the Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Then the Beis Hillel argued that we should follow Rabbi Shimon. Aval, gabe Yom Tov, continuing to Amud Beis, the Sasam Lantana k'Rabbi Yehuda. But when it comes to Yom Tov, we're more machmir. When it comes to Yom Tov, it seems that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muktzah. The Snan, as we learn in the second line, we continue with the second line from the top, and Beis Amud Beis, we learned on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Ein Mevakim Eitzin Lo Min HaKoros V'Lo Min HaKoros Shenish B'Rabbi Yom Tov, that if you have a branch that falls down in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take from that wood, presumably because it's Muktzah. So Mukim Lala Beis Hillel K'Rabbi Yehuda. So then, Beis Hillel says that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Analyzes the Gemara. Michti, man stami l'masnisen, Rabbi, who was the one who put together the Mishnayos? This is a collector's item, this line of the Gemara. The Gemara here reveals the stami l'masnisen is a Rabbi. Maishna b'Shabbos, the sasam lanka Rabbi Shimon. Why is it that when it comes to Shabbos, the Rebbe followed Rabbi Shimon? Maishna b'Yom Tov, the sasam lanka Rabbi Yehuda. So why is it that Rebbe is more machmer when it comes to Yom Tov and says that Beis Hillel follows Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Yom Tov? So answers the Gemara, six lines from the top, an important klal on the first daf in Maseches Beitza, Amri, Shabbos de Chamiri. Everybody knows that Shabbos is Chamur. I thought the meaning of Shabbos de Chamiri might be because of the Yom Tov has a likelihood that people will be mezalzel on it because of Ochel Nefesh. There are already so many things that are mutter, and it seems like Rabbeinu Chanan learns this pshat. Although my father Shlita also points out that there's another distinction, that when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos's punishment is greater than that of Yom Tov. Shabbos, the punishment is Miso, while with Yom Tov it's an Isser Kares. So then, V'lo Asilu Zuzel Abbas. So since Shabbos is more stringent, however you explain it, people will come to be more likely to become mezalzel. So Sasamon Tana to Rabbi Shimon to Mekel. So the Tana feels that we could be Mekel according to Rabbi Shimon. It seems like according to this, explanation fits well according to the famous Rambam that says that the Yisra Muktza is to prevent from Malachos to be done on Shabbos. How Muktza prevents from Malachos to be done on Shabbos? Of course, our Shiurim and Shiurim Bifnei Atzmam, but that would seem to be that Muktza is some type of Geder. Yom Tov Tikiyuv Asel Zuzle Beis Asel Lantanik Reb Yehuda Dimachmir. Like Muktza is a Geder for Malacha, and therefore we're going to have to be Machmir on Yom Tov, either because of, my father said, because of the Isser Kares in contrast to Isser Misa, or like Rabbeinu Hananel says, because of the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, already people are doing other Malachas. Period. So this is the end of the first stage of the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues, 10 lines from the top on Beis and Beis Mayu Kimta. What exactly are we talking about in terms of the type of chicken? How did we develop? That the issue over here is that the animal wasn't designated for use. It wasn't like my grandfather's chicken coop that all of them presumably would have a din of tarnigolas halmedes achila and therefore not be considered muktza. That would be a kula for my father as well. Then he'd be able to possibly play with the chickens on Yom Tov. So, but also it comes out that but tarnigolas halmedes achila is not muktza, while tarnigolas halmedes legadol beitzim is muktza. Ihachi adam iflegi bebeitza liflegu betarnigolas. Once our Mishnah's distinction is dependent on what type of tarnigolas it is, so then the Mishnah should differentiate between the two. The Mishnah to differentiate between tarnigolas halmedes legadol beitzim and tarnigolas halmedes la'achila. Even though it's a tarnigolas halmedes legadol beitzim, and that is muktza, as well as what it laid is no lad. Beis Shammai, who's the Mekel, he holds all the achakochan de Beis Shammai de benolad shari. Period. Asks the Gemara, v'liflegu b'tarnigos hold the achakocha de Beis Hillel de muktza asri. Why don't we talk about spell out that we're talking about an egg, a chicken? That according to this, we should also emphasize that the chicken itself, asks the Gemara, is going to be muktza according to Beis Hillel, because it's muktza. Not only is there an issue of an egg being laid, even the tarnigolas itself is going to be aser.
Even though it's not nolad,
nevertheless it's going to be aser. V'liflugu b'tarnigolsa d'yacha kocha de Beis Hillel, the muktza asri. So why don't we emphasize in our Mishnah, why don't we have the subject of our Mishnah to be the chicken as opposed to the egg? And if you're going to answer that we want to show over here, this doesn't mean that you're supposed to look for leniencies, even though there are times that Rav does have a responsibility to look for leniencies, but that's not what Koch Deatera Adif means over here. Koch Deatera Adif means we want to show how far we could be makil in regards to the halachos of muktza, and that's why. And that's why, according to We learn the case of the Beitza, because according to Beis Shammai, even the Nolad is going to be Mutter. That's the Koch Deatera. V'niflugu b'tarvayu. So let's have the Machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in two cases. Tarnigolas halmedes legadol beitzim hi u'beitzasa. Both the chicken itself that gives off the egg and the egg. Beis Shammai yom teochel, Beis Hillel lo teochel. Question mark. Ella, so for because of this question, we have an entirely new approach. And this is going to be the first introduction to the source in the Torah to many of the halachos that relate to this beitza. Ella maraba lo'olam b'tarnigolas halmedes la'achila. We're talking about a chicken that is not muktza. We're talking about a chicken that's roi to have an egg. And for that reason, now we've answered the previous question, why we don't talk about the chicken itself? Because the chicken itself is mutter l'kulei alma u'b'yomtev shechalios achar Shabbos haskin. And we're talking about when the yomtev falls out on a Sunday. U'mishum hachana. This is the famous rule of hachana de rabba. That If you have something that wasn't ready on Shabbos, so the halacha is if it becomes prepared from Shabbos and now it's edible on Yom Tov, it's prohibited to derive benefit. V'kasava rabba, kol beitza the misyalda idna me'etmol gamrala. If the egg was laid on Sunday, then it was completed on Shabbos. And the Gemara spells out a little bit more, and we're going to do the Gemara, and then we're going to see the Rashi. V'rabba l'tameh, and Rabba's consistent with his opinion, and if I recall correctly, this is basically the Maskanas HaGemara of how to read our Mishnah. It's based on Rava's approach. To Amar Rabba, here we have a scriptural source for our Mishnah. What does the pasuk mean? That the Torah says that when we took the man, when we were in the midbar, we took double man on Friday. Chol mechin leShabbos v'chol mechin leYomtiv. That you're supposed to prepare on the weekday for Shabbos. You're supposed to prepare for the weekday, adds the Gemara, for Yomtiv. Ve'ein Yomtiv mechin leShabbos ve'ein Shabbos mechin leYomtiv. So if Shabbos prepares for on Yomtiv, whether you actively do it or it was done incidentally, either way, v'gzeres hakosav v'haya b'yom hashishi v'echini es asher yaviu tells us that you're not supposed to derive benefit from it. So number one, we learn a halacha which is going to introduce the second parak in Maseches Beitza, and that is that if Shabbos falls out before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov, as well as Minat Torah. If Yom Tov falls out before Shabbos, you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and what has to be done is to make an Erev Tavshilin. That will be the subject of the second perek. And this is the source of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not referring to the general issue of muktzah, of anything that wasn't prepared before Yom Tov, but rather we're talking about something much more specific, and that is an egg that was prepared, in other words, it finished its germination inside the hen on Shabbos, and then it was laid on Yom Tov. And that's a problem, according to Rabba, possibly a din d'oraisa. Could very well be that this is a din d'oraisa of v'haya b'yom hashishi v'chinu es asher yaviu. Rashi points out that the position here of Rabba is a very, very, very powerful one. Rashi is the one who really made it much more powerful. Rashi suggests that it could very well be that Rabba himself learns out in Maseches Psachim that Muktzah is the Oraisa based on this idea. In other words, that once we see in the Torah, then that means that anything that wasn't prepared before Yom Tov, or before Shabbos, even on Erev Yom Tov, would be a Din d'Oraisa as well. In other words, it's an extension to, Muktzah is an extension to the Halacha of Hachana de Rabba. This is a very, very controversial Rashi. Tesis and Psachim asks on it. Rishonim over here ask on it. But Rashi makes beautiful sense. Now, from a conceptual framework, it's important for people to know, even though it doesn't add up in Halacha L'maisa and Hilchos Muktzah, it's important for people to know that this could be one of the sources, whether it's D'oraisa Mamish, some will come out Halacha L'maisa, it's D'rabbanan, it's not D'oraisa. But at the end of the day, now Muktzah is not this strange word with a lot of art scroll books about, that you're not allowed to touch this and you're allowed to touch that, but rather it's based on this whole idea of Eichinu Es Asher Yaviu, that's based on the halacha of preparing before Yom Tov for Yom Tov and preparing before Shabbos for Shabbos. Let's continue on in our daf. Amalei Abaye, Abaye, who of course is, as I learned from my father, I think this was something I was zocheh to learn from him over 25 years ago. Does that sound right? That's got to be over 25 years ago. That Abaye was the adopted son of Rabba. So Abaye, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye spoke back to Rabba. He asked him in a respectful way. Elameyata Yom Tov Ba'alma Tishri. If that would be so then Yom Tov in general should be permissible. V'ameivin Yavin, Abaye's question is really going to get involved with what we elaborate on before, whether you learn all Muktzah out from the din of Rabba. From Abaye, it seems to be quite difficult, as Abaye says, now look, close brackets, says Abaye, the only Isser now is Yom Tov. So if that would be so, so then in general Yom Tov should be permissible. Sends the Gemara, Gzeir Mishum Yom Tov Achar Shabbos. No, it was a Gzeira, that we're afraid that if you're going to allow an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, then you're going to allow, even if Shabbos preceded it, even when it's on Sunday. Asks the Gemara, Shabbos to Alma Tishri, but then Shabbos in general should be Mutter. Answers the Gemara, the same thing, Gzeir Mishum Shabbos Achar Yom Tov, if Yom Tov falls out on Friday, and Shabbos is the day after. Asks the Gemara, Umi Gazrin, do we make that Gzeir Vatanya? But then we learn the Brais HaShechet is Tarni Goylis. If a hen is slaughtered, Umatzah Babetzim Gemuros, Mutaros La'achalan, B'yomtev. You're allowed to eat them on Yomtev. Vim Isa. And if you hold that we make a Gzeir, Mishum Hanach, the Messialdim, Ligzer Mishum Hanach, the Messialdim, B'yom Mehen, you should make the Gzeir as well when you find the eggs inside. Answers the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Amalei beitzim gemuras b'mei iman milsad lo shchicha. This is an important klal in Gzeiris. That if it's something that's not common, umilsad de shchicha lo gazar barabbanan. Here is a convenient place to end our daf, where the Gemara says that something that's not common, then Chazal never made the Gzeira. There are a few interesting tosasin over here on today's daf. Number one, Tosis in the end of Dibur Maskel, V'hoye B'yom HaShishi, points out that it seems that the man did not come down on Yom Tov as well, because halacha is that you're not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Tosis points out that there are contradictions whether the man came down on Yom Tov, different midrashim. One of the nafkaminas would be whether there's a chiyuv of Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov, because Lechem Mishnah is because we didn't have the man. So that's alluded to in this Tosos, at the end of Dibra Maskel, V'hoye B'yom HaShishi. Also, Tosos on the bottom of Beis Amin Aleph and Dibra Maskel, Beis Hillel, gets involved with the issue of Basis L'davar HaAser. If you have a base for a Muktza, so we learned that Beis Hillel, even though he holds that it is Muktza, if you have bones and peels and so on, nevertheless, you're allowed to shake the base that it's on. So Tosis asks, but what about the problem of Basis L'davar HaAser? Tosis answers, since his intention wasn't to leave him there the entire day, so then in such a case, it does not become a Basis L'davar HaAser. It has to have Daito L'onichem Shom Kol HaYom. This appears in Shulchan Aruch. Or else, Tosis introduced another very important cloud that appears in Shulchan Aruch as well, and that is that if you have a basis l'davar also l'davar mutter. There's muktza items as well as food items. So then in such a case, one is allowed to move the basis, because for something to be considered basis l'davar ha'aser, it has to be entirely servicing the davar ha'aser. This Beis HaShem concludes Beitza Daf Beis.